That's 2010. Five has gone. 2010. Say, ah, for 2010, I'm not here yet. Well, you're not here yet, but the time clock has begun. You still can catch up. There will be grace. 2011. Remember the exhortation that God gave to us to be a house that is wise and watchful. Have we become wise and watchful? I don't know. I'm not here to judge. I'm looking at myself. Have I become wise and watchful? Or 4 years has passed. I still mong cha cha. Don't know what's happening. Have I become wise and watchful? 2013, remember God said, now is the time to re-sign up to be the burning and the shining. And remember, we make a vow with God to do this one thing well for the next 10 years. That we will love Jesus well. So that we can be the burning and the shining lamp. Last year, 2014, the word God came to us is the word that came to us from God is that it's time to return to the first commandment. It's time to return to the first commandment. Last year, Psalms 2 crisis and the Joe 2 lifestyle. That's what we call a 220-day fast. Inviting many different houses of prayer to participate with us. And thank God we have enough link. We started the first 50 days. But without fail, 222 days from January 1st all the way to our national day is August 9. We fast, we pray. 222 days. Let me give you another word of God. Now God is talking about keeping this going. We are in the process of working these things out. Hopefully by 1st of February, there will be a 24-7 prayer and fasting going on until Jesus returned. Wow. Amen? Okay. So give you some evidence. No one crap, which is good. Some evidence of the distressing of nations. Okay, some evidence. Because you need to understand so that you need to see. Over the last 5 years, many things have shifted. Over the last 5 years, you know, Lee Hsien Loong said the last election was my good friend, Lee Hsien Loong, no, our prime minister. 2011, he said that the election is a watershed election or something like that. He said that, right? Yeah. So now we have a watershed parliament. Let me tell you, we are living in the watershed time. There's a major, major shift into negative. And there is no turning back. Really, there's no turning back. A few. The Bible gives us trend sign, event sign. I give you a few trend sign, event sign. The first one is moral decay. Paul makes it very clear. Jesus talked about it too. One of the major signs at the end of the age is moral decay. It hastens so fast for the last 5 years. It's scary. We have no idea where this thing is going. And we have to watch ourselves. 10 years ago, I said that no one pay attention. That time don't even have this term called LGBT. I say 10 years ago, I say that the gay issue will become a hot topic issue in Singapore. No one pay attention. Now it's a worldwide issue. Moral decay, okay? A few things that is happening. Redefining of moral value, marriage, gender issue is crazy. It's crazy. Huge advancement of LGBT agenda just the last few years. They are really coming out to push the age. Okay. At the last count, I stopped counting already. At least 14 nations has legalized same-sex marriage. Wow. Wow. Some nation like United Kingdom, and Canada, they even allow adoption of children by a same-sex couple. Wow, imagine the kind of messed up idea about marriage that the kid will grow up with. It's crazy. You know? Last year, June 26th, that's why we did it's like a prophetic sign for us. We did a extreme time, extreme requirement, extreme measure on July 25th, but prior to that, the moment we send out the publicity, June 26, U.S. Supreme Court legalized gay marriages. It's huge. You say, but that's United States. No, we have no idea. United States influenced the world. United States influenced Western culture. When that fall, huge implications. Huge implications. And this is scary because God will judge. Judgment will come. Because we need to understand the implication, because the implication is huge. That's why we need to pray. You know where this is going? This is going to that we are crossing the milestone into the Psalms 2 crisis and what Jesus prophesied about in Matthew 24 about the rise of lawlessness. Because it's one thing to sin. It's another matter to institutionalize sin and to celebrate sin. That means basically we are saying that it's, we are normalizing sin. No, we love the sinner, but we don't condone the sinful act. So we have to understand that advancement, the moral decay, the way that we are going down, is getting worse and worse. Okay, John Piper said this. He used the term pornification of Western society. I don't think there's Western society. No, it's severe. It's not going to get any better. It will become worse. I said this. Do you know that pornography has penetrated into every household? Not just every household. It can affect everyone right now. It will not get better. It will become more severe. Worse and worse. We don't even have idea where this is going. You know that I'm not into Playboy magazine, so I'm just giving you an example. Do you know that this month, Playboy will published the last edition of the magazine. Do you know why? Not because that guy repented. You know why? They said this. Now it's so easy to access pornography. They no longer sell. They no longer make business. Wow. Huge statement. Huge. Watch out. Deal with it if you have that issue. Get helped. Uproot every weakness because this is serious. So this is moral decay. Okay. Second, global economic crisis. Now we all think that economy will recover. If you go behind the scene, it will not. Many nations have gone bankrupt. So they are playing this musical chair. 10 person, only 8 chairs. The music cannot stop because the moment music stops, it will hurt many people. U.S. is in debt, $1.4 trillion. You know who owns the greater bonds of U.S.? China. Do you think China wants U.S. to die? For example, if you owe me $1 million, I don't want you to declare bankrupt. Because you declare bankrupt means I get nothing. Okay, it's serious. We are thinking that we will recover. We will not recover. It's going to, the Bible talks about it. Greece is bankrupt. I think Iceland too. A few years ago. So is Spain. Many nations is waiting for Germany to bail them out. It will not. We are all in trouble. An economy forecast for China, you know, China is like now the great savior of the world economy. Their forecast is bleak. Even Singapore economy forecast not that positive next year. This year is what? Last year was 1.5% growth? Very. 2. Wow, that's not bad, no? So if you have bonus, praise God. Maybe you will not have bonus next year. Okay, I read on Tuesday, 5 richest men in the world lost $16 billion in one day. Wow. We have no idea where this is going. And say, what is the economic? No, when the economy bubble bursts, it's going to create unprecedented social unrest. There will be. People will rise up. That's what but Jesus talked about. There will be unrest all around the world. Third one. I'm going to be quick. Third one. Because I need to set the context so that you know this is serious. This is not going to turn back. It will not. It will not turn back. Okay. My pastoral advice to all of us, don't get into debt if you can. Spend within your means. Don't spend beyond your means. Don't get yourself caught. Jesus talked about that there will be snare that will weigh you down. Don't. It's time to downsize if you can. What gives you life in your heart is not material things. It's about in the Spirit, in the Lord. Don't get yourself caught. The kind of pressure and the burden that is coming, it will weigh your heart down. When your heart is weighed down, you cannot pray. You cannot connect with God. So downsize. No, I'm not asking you to downgrade to 2-room flat, 1-room flat. Ask God for wisdom. How do you live right now? Okay. Nothing is safe unless it's guaranteed by God. God is about to shake heaven and earth. Why? He's going to remove every false security, every false prop, especially for his people, so that he wants us to fully stand on him and him alone. No any other false sense of confidence and security anymore. He's going to do it. Okay. Of course, the third one is political crisis, the rise of ISIS. Okay, that makes the world so unpredictable and unsafe. You never know when terrorism is going to hit. Do you know that Singapore is one of the targets? You go to the ISIS website. Okay, I'm not asking you to go now. Okay, they will put up all the map of the nations that they are attacking. Unfortunately, Singapore flag is one of them. I was in Kansas City talking to this Taiwan guy. You know, he said, "Yeah, well, no, we all want to be a nation. No, so now we are a nation. No, ISIS is also targeting Taiwan." Because ISIS is targeting nations. So we have, you know, no place is safe anymore. You need to pray. Should I board this plane or not board this plane? Should I go here? Or who knows? I mean, like, for example, Paris. Suddenly it just happened. It can happen anywhere. So I was taking train one day, you know, look around. Oh, so crowded. Yeah, people say Singapore have no bomb. Well, we can buy a knife, right? It can happen. No, I'm not telling you about this to create fear. I'm telling you to cause us to learn to pray. Victory is ours. It's not going to get better. We can become stronger, okay? And yesterday, you heard the news, or the day before, the great Kim Jong-un, they just tested a nuclear or hydrogen bomb or whatever. Okay, there's a nuclear arm race right now, Iran, North Korea, and so on. You know what's the target of Iran? Israel. If Iran has a nuclear bomb and U.S. is so unwise, sign a nuclear deal with Iran, thinking that they will behave, they are unlikely to behave. So unwise, they ask them to self-check themselves. Wow. Asking a crook to check yourself so that you are not steal. You think they're going to abide? No, that is going to escalate many things. That means Israel will be on the toe. Israel will plan for a preemptive strike. That means World War III is imminent. It's that serious. And throw in one more thing, anti-Semitism is on the rise. On the rise. So when Jesus say the distressing of nation, we are really living in that time frame. We are at the beginning of the beginning, but it's not too early to pay attention. We have. Why we want to set up a 24/7 house of prayer? That is the only answer. When we pray, God break in. The glory and the hope of God break in. Let's go to verse 26. Now Jesus, he talked about the negative events. Now he's warning us of the negative response as a result of the distress of nation. No, everybody will be vulnerable. No one is immune. We all assume that we will be ready. Let me tell you, the moment there's a bomb go off in this place, we're all going to panic if we are unaware. That's why he said this in verse 26. Man's heart filling them from fear. Jesus talked about four common emotions that is going to happen at the end of the age. He mentioned two in Luke 21. He mentioned two in Matthew 24. There are four. We can overcome that four if we prepare ourselves. But when we assume that everything is going to be okay, or we are totally unaware and unprepared, this four thing is going to hit us. Because no one is immune. Everyone is vulnerable. The first one is confusion. Luke 21, verse 25. No time to turn to it. Confusion. If you're unaware of what is going to happen, when all these things begin to happen before, I'm not surprised by many things that is happening, because last 10 years, I've devoted my energy in studying and finding out. Not that I'm not afraid, but I'm less afraid. Because I'm aware of what is going to come. You see, how do you know? It's all in the Bible. If you know the Bible, if you study and ask God for grace in understanding the 150 chapter about what is going to happen in the end time, you know where this thing is heading. Exactly. So the first one is confusion. You will be confused. And you throw in one more spanner. God allows it. Wow, you'll be shocked. You'll be totally shocked. Luke 21, verse 25. Second, fear, which is this verse. Luke 21, verse 26. These are negative response. Luke 21, verse 26. Fear. You will fear. You will fear. Third one, deception. Deception. Matthew 24, verse 5, verse 24, verse 25. That's why this year we are embarking on the journey as a house to read the Bible. I want read the entire Bible. I want everyone in this community to read through the Bible at least one time this year so that we know the Word, we are grounded in the Word. How do you get deception? Because you're not grounded in the Word. See, the danger about deception is not that it's all wrong. It's easy to know that it's all wrong. That's called dumb. That's not being deceived. Deception is when it is half right. That's what makes it deceptive. That's why we need to be grounded in the Word of God. Deception, Matthew 24, verse 5, 25. The last one, Matthew 24, verse 10. Matthew 24, verse 10, offense. Offense. We will be offended with God. See, I wouldn't. No, I'm seeing enough. We don't even realize that in our heart, every one of us has that little seed of offense against God. When things don't go well, in what we think we want, what we expect, that offense comes up. Sometimes very subtle. There is the root there that we have to deal with it. For example, have we ever made that comment, God, you're not so good to me this week? Don't even need to raise up your hand. We all have. Why is that? Offense. You're offended with God. When is God not good towards us? He's always good to us. It's just that often we allow circumstances and situation to define or determine whether God is good or not good. When that storm comes, you never know what is going to happen to you, because God is going to allow it to test you, to strengthen you. If overnight you lose your house, you lose all your money, you are not grounded in knowing who God is, you are going to be offended with God. Big time. That's where, at the end of the age, there will be a great falling away. No. Mark my word, take this seriously. I mean, campus ministry, I've been ministry for the last 20, 30 years. Especially when I'm in campus ministry, I see people literally fall away from God today, still angry with God because they did not get second class upper honors. Got second class lower. I say, man, I repeat how many times? Offense. And if we have this idea that God is a Santa Claus, He only committed to give you good gifts, you are in serious trouble. He will allow storm to strengthen you. That is the key thing. Four emotions. That's why Jesus mentioned about the negative. No, in verse 25 to verse 28, He talked about both positive and negative, primarily negative. This four, pay attention to this four: confusion, fear, deception, and offense. You can overcome by preparing yourself. How do you overcome confusion? Develop understanding so that you know. Don't even need to prophesy. I can tell you, next week or 2 weeks from now, there will be another earthquake. You say, wow, how do you know? Jesus said it in Matthew 24. Don't come and call me a Kichong. Wow, so soon.
No, it's in the Bible. 2 weeks from now, at least. If not next week, 2 weeks from now, there will be another earthquake. You say, oh, you prophesied doom. No, I did not. Jesus said it. Jesus said it. And the number of earthquake and the intensity of earthquake is increasing by the year. We are so used to it now, earthquake that is 5 point something, they don't even bother to report. You know, two weeks ago, there's an earthquake in Chile. They don't even bother to report right now. That is the thing, okay? So pay attention. Confusion, if you develop understanding. Fear, if you develop confidence in God. Confidence in God. Deception, if you are grounded in the Word. Start reading the Bible. Start knowing the Bible. Offense. Develop understanding about who this Jesus is when he come back the second time. He's the bridegroom. He's the king. There's a third thing we hardly talk about. He's the judge. He's going to judge. When Jesus judge, it's going to be bloody. It will be. He will trample nations. Okay, let's go further. Verse 27, verse 28. Verse 25, verse 26, he talked about the negative. Verse 27, verse 28. Now he prophesied about two positive things. Both the positive events and the positive response. Okay, I'm not going to dwell too much on it. Of course, he talked about redemption. Primarily means the return of Jesus. But that before the fullness of redemption, there will always be the progressive fullness of redemption, like breaking out revival and so on. Okay, but he's talking about second group of people. There are two kinds of response. In verse 28, he said this. Now when this thing, circle the word, began. When this thing began to happen. You know why Jesus used this word begin? That means we can know. Not just we can know. In fact, we should know. We must know. He's giving us a lot of signs. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. So that we look, compare notes. Wow, it's beginning now. So we should know. We can know. Of course, we will not know the precise time, date, and hour. But we know when it begins. No one knows how long is the birth pangs or the beginning of birth pangs. Okay, the word says this. Now when this thing began to happen, look up. Lift up your heads because your redemption draw near. You're talking about there will be a group of people that will fill with faith, confidence, courage, and they will shine. They look up, they lift up, they are not hiding. They are not failing with fear or confusion. The key is look up. Don't look out or look around. Look up, that means fix your eyes on Jesus. That is going to give you confidence. Focus on God. Don't look around or look out. Christian faith is live inside out. Inward is more important than outward. What should be strong is in the inner man. What should be to have great strength to stand in the inner man. Because the outside world will always change, shift, and shake. But if your inner man is strong, nothing moves you. You can stand. There will be a group of people that they will look up. Filled with hope, confidence, and faith instead of failing with fear because they look up. They look up. Okay, let's go to the next section. Verse 34 to verse 36. I have 15 minutes. I'll go fast. Verse 34 to the verse 36. That's where Jesus gives us the key to prepare and to strengthen ourselves so that we can overcome and we can stand. That we do not have to be overwhelmed by confusion, overwhelmed by fear, overwhelmed by despair, overwhelmed by offense, or be deceived. He gives us two vital exhortations, okay, in verse 34 and verse 36, so that we will not be surprised. we will have strength. Our heart will not be weighed down. We can escape that trap. And we can stand. I want to stand. Let's go to verse 34. Verse 34. Two vital exhortations. One is to take heed. Second is to watch and pray. Take heed. Watch and pray. Okay. First exhortation. Take heed. Take heed. Means what? Pay attention. Be alert. Don't be caught. He's warning us of three things. Three things that everyone is vulnerable in this age that will weigh us down. Verse 34 said this. Underline, take heed. Take heed. In fact, my advice to you is go and find out every take heed that appears in the gospel, in the teaching of Jesus, because he's asking us to pay attention. Now it's easy. Now there's Bible software. Last time I had to search. Then comes concordance. Easier. Concordance, still have to search. Now just type, take heed, gospel. Oh, 19 results. Okay, so easy. So, but don't be lazy. Okay. Take heed, underline the word, take heed. 2 years. No, my goal here is not after you go back, you know how to expound Luke 21. Pay attention and cultivate what Jesus is exhorting us to. If not, after today, you walk out, it's useless. Jesus said two times in Mark 4, if I didn't get it wrong, and Luke 8, he said, take heed what you hear. And Luke 8, he said this, take heed how you hear. What you hear is as important as how you hear. Because you can hear the wrong thing. Hey, come on, messed up. Or you can hear the right thing, but you are not responding. It's as useless. So it's vital. Take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. I don't want to fill my mind with garbage. More and more, I want to fill my mind with the right thing. I'm going to find a Bible software where it's audio one. Let me say read. At night, I sleep. I'm going to plug my whatever headphone or so that I'm always filled with the Word of God. I say, wow, extreme. There are some things it's good to be extreme. You know, don't be obsessive with bad things, but be obsessive with the things of God. Take heed what you hear. That's why I watch less and less TV. You talk to my wife, then TV is on. I watch primarily news. If I'm at home the whole evening, 6:30 news, channel 8, if I'm not wrong. 7 o'clock, CNA, Channel News Asia, news. Then I take a reprieve. 9 o'clock, channel 5, news. It's now 9 o'clock. Then 10 o'clock, another hour, CNA News. Then 11 o'clock, Channel U News. I say, why? Because I want to pay attention. And I'm watching less and less of the TV. It's because now TV is more and more, lots of garbage. It influences our mind. Do you know that every time you hear something, it influences your value unconsciously? So watch, take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. Those who are parents, please have a control of this for your children. This is powerful. This gives you knowledge, but not every knowledge is good. That is the thing. I wish we can come back. I know everybody will kill me. Come back to the dumb, real touch phone. You know what's a real touch phone? You touch a keypad. Okay, yeah, so you dinosaur. Okay, let's come back to this. Take heed to yourself, lest your heart be weighed down. There will be things that will weigh you down to cause. See, Jesus is so pastoral. He's so caring. He warned us of what will weigh our hearts down, and he advised us to do two things that will give us strength to stand. There's like two advices. Take heed. watch and pray. And again, he mentioned 9-10 times about watch and pray every time we teach about end time. Go back and find out what are the things that the Lord wants us to watch and pray. Take heed to yourself, lest your heart be weighed down with three things. I'm going to define for you quickly. You can go and search the commentary, whatever, because these three are broad categories, but three things: carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life. Three issues that will cause our spiritual life to be dull, to be defiled, to be crowded, and we become unresponsive to God. He's warning us when he talked about that it will weigh our hearts down. He's not talking about depressions. He's talking about these are three things that we really have to pay attention, have to watch, and keep a distance as far as we can, because it's going to cause our heart to be defiled, cause our heart to be dull, cause our heart to be unresponsive to God. We lose that sensitivity to. Do you know that sensitivity to God has to be cultivated and has to be guarded? It doesn't increase automatically, but it diminishes automatically. There are things that will take away that sensitivity to God. That's why this year I'm telling the whole house, if there's one message that we want to study deep, is Sermon on the Mount. Your Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, talk about that 5-6 toxins that will cause us to cause our spirit to be dull and defiled, and we have to deal with it so that we can be sensitive to God. Because, you know, there are people who live in the midst of revival, they miss the revival. Why? Because we are dull. We don't even know what's happening. All we do is we criticize and so on. We can. Why? We can't see that we are living in serious time because we are dull in our spirit. So Jesus said, watch out these three things, because verse 35, he said that it will come as a, circle the word, snare. You know what is snare? Actually, the better translation is a trap. It's the trap that trap animal. There are two things about snare. One is that it's hidden. No one wants to trap an animal, put there and tell the animal, trap, trap. That's why it's called a snare. You're unaware. That's why Jesus said, watch out. These three are very subtle. It will trap you. Two nature of snare. One is it will trap you. And the one is hidden. One is it will trap you. And you understand about trap. You know, we used to do that when we were in Brunei jungle, catch wild boar. We do this trap thing. If the animal struggle more, it will tighten even more. So there's a danger about snare. It's hidden. It's not so obvious. It's subtle. You know, a lot of times you say, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, a little bit, a little bit. Satan doesn't take you by a mile each day. He takes you by inch. 1 inch at a time. Before you realize you are way down the hill, you are backslided. That's why we have to take heed of this treating, because it will come like a snare. And what does Jesus say? Circle this word. On all those who dwell in the face of the whole earth. That means who? Who? Everyone. We are naive to say, oh, a Christian will be spared. Jesus said what? All those who dwell in the face of the whole earth. No one will be immune. Everyone will be vulnerable. That's why Jesus is out of that pastoral house. Take heed. Three things. Carousing. First one is, I'm going to go fast, okay? Please go and search on your own before I come out my notes. It can be another time. I'm in the midst of doing Song of Song. Carousing. Carousing is got to do with indulgence, okay? Most Bible translate, instead of using carousing, you talk about, you use the word, I'll pronounce correctly, dissipation. D-I-S-S-I-P-A-T-I-O. You know what's dissipation? Dissipation means basically referring to things that will drain or diminish our spiritual strength. There are things that will drain and diminish your spiritual strength. Okay, when we talk about carousing, it means we are over-indulgence in the pleasure of this world, even though in this context it's primarily talking about lustful pleasure. Watch out. watch. No, I'm not against having pleasure. Going to go Star Wars. I also went to watch Star Wars, but I find it a bit weak. Force Awakening. I'm looking for the Great Awakening. Yeah, you want the Force? I want the Spirit of God. May the Spirit of God be with you. Okay, yeah. Dark side, good side. Well, yeah. So watch out. No, seriously. Watch out. You know what is one of my main concerns, especially for young people? This. Don't overindulge in this. Are you in control of the phone? Or the phone is in control of you? I see many young people, they cannot hands off the phone. It's dangerous. Can I give you a suggestion? Just do it every day. I know some people have some withdrawal, even manifest. Oh, okay. Try. Start. Switch off your phone at least 1 hour a day. Do it. You say, when I sleep. No, when you're awake. You know, the danger is some people, even when they are asleep, their phone is on and so on, it's plugged into your ears. Don't be overindulged. It will drain your strength. Start doing something about it. Are you in control of your phone? Most people say, I'm in control, in control. That's why you're not out of control. You're not in control because you think you're in control. Are you in control of the phone or the phone is in control of you? I was talking with, no one knows this guy, that's why I mentioned this. I was talking to Van. He is so honest. He told me this, you know, Kei Chong. Last year, I realized that I was in bondage. I say, what? No, I say, I was in bondage with my phone. So he began to cut off. No, I'm not asking us to be a dinosaur, you know, like me, IT idiot. Phone smart, user dumb. No. But is the phone in control of you or you in control of the phone? No, these are all good things. But good things can become bad things. Don't get caught. Don't. Start doing something, but because all these things drain your strength. No, I'm not against, I love iPhone because before I can sleep, I can turn on YouTube. The day before, I was watching Azusa Street Revival because I want my heart to be stirred so that I come to pray, oh God, not Azusa then, Azusa now. Then yesterday, I was watching Lakeland Revival. Oh God, why is not this happening? Tonight, I'm going to watch Toronto Blessings. I was there, but just a record, so it stirred my heart. Nothing wrong with using the phone, but the key is the phone in control of you, you in control of the phone. It will drain your strength. Switch off. Maybe I should set the goal for a house. I tell you, I will never have Wi-Fi in this room. It's because I don't want us to connect to the social media. I want us to engage the heart of God. Maybe I should have some jamming device here. Everybody come here. Here come no data plan. No, because I'm doing it. Yeah. No. This is out of the pastor. Do you know that this is one of the greatest bondage right now to the new generation? You say, wow, so strong. It is. 2 years ago, Polytechnic did a research. They locked a group of young people in a lecture theater. No Wi-Fi, no iPhone. They say everybody has a withdrawal symptom. Because we are caught. Serious. We are caught. There is the blessing about this thing, but there's the danger about this. I'm a bit worried because I'm going to upgrade my phone to iPhone 6. Right now, cannot really, must have data plan. So what do I do? I have to learn to discipline myself. Asking God for grace. No, I'm saying this out of love. No, I'm not advocating for you to be an IT dinosaur. Touch phone, really. Touch the keypad. No, carousing. Watch out for things that were diminished and drained your spirit life, dissipation. Okay. Second, is this primarily to do with the flesh? Second, drunkenness, primarily to do with our mind. There are things that make us dull in the spirit so that we have no understanding. We can't see. Because we are dull. Drunk people has no awareness of what's happening. They talk rubbish. Now, this is not just primarily talking about liquor or alcohol. It's talking about don't fill your mind with things that so-called intoxicate you until you are drunk. You don't know what is happening. You have no awareness of what God is saying. So the question I ask, do we fill our mind more often with things of the world, or do we fill our mind with the Word of God or things of God? It's time to get some balance right. I'm serious. Jesus say it. Take heed. Take heed. Okay. Third one. Cares of this life. Oh, Singaporean is the most guilty of this. No, I'm not saying not important. But if this is your primary focus, you are in trouble. Cares of this life primarily is deal with protection, provision, money, and promotion. You want advancement, your career, so on. And there's nothing wrong. But if this is your primary concern, you are striving all your heart. Don't aim for 5C. It's outdated. Old-fashioned. Aim for 1C. It's called Christ. In Him you lack nothing. That is cool. America will say, awesome. Don't, so good, yeah. So good. No, yeah, but don't do that at my hands then. Cares of, no, I'm not saying these are unimportant. God knows what you need. If you read Matthew chapter 6, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all this thing will be given to you as well. If you read the entire passage, Jesus said this, is life more than food? Is life more than clothing? Is life more than money? Singaporean, we'll throw in one more. Is life more than cars? It's okay. I want my heart to be alive. Even if I have a big car, my heart is not alive. That's not good. I want to be intimate with Jesus. Even I don't have a big house. It's okay. Big house, more window to clean, though. My house is quite small. How many windows? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 windows only. Chinese New Year coming. One morning, I can clean out everything. You stay in 3-story bungalow like my parents, man, 15 windows or more. You say they have maid. Wow, there'll come a time you have no maid. Then who is the maid? So cares of that. Don't let that drain you. First one is it defiles. That is carousing. Second, it make you dull. That is drunken. Third one, cares of this life, it distract you. I'm not saying that it's unimportant. No, it will distract you. Cares of this life always leads to these two things. Worried anxiety and bitterness. You know why bitter? You didn't get what you expect from God. You are bitter. I like what Jim Keller say, okay? This quote is really good. Worry is not believing that God get it right. No, worry is not believing that God will get it right. Bitterness is believing that God got it wrong. 3-room flat only. Wow, God, you are so wrong. You are so wrong. No, that's a case of distract you. Let's go to verse 34. Can you give me 10 minutes? I haven't go to the watch and pray. I'm going to be fast. Verse 34. Again, at verse 34. And that day come on you unexpectedly. The day is not just talking about the specific day of Jesus' return. It's talking about the events that is leading up to the day when Jesus returned. Let me tell you this. The last person that should be surprised and caught unaware and unexpected is the Church of Jesus Christ. We should know. A praying church, a church that loves the Word, a prophetic church, we will know. We will know. This should not happen to us. We should know. We have to know. So that's the first exhortation. Take heed. No, I'm going through very quickly, but go back, pray, meditate, ask God to deal with your heart. Give grace for you to respond. Second, watch and pray. Watch and pray. No, you need to watch and you need to pray. Don't just do watch and don't pray. Don't just pray and don't watch. You need to do both. Okay, I'm going to explain to you. Watch, circle the word watch. Watch, this is the vital things that we need to do. No, I'm not asking you to shut down everything. In fact, I'm trying to find opportunities. see whether I can cut down more trips this year. Okay, I only have three now. Four, actually. I'm going to cut down. Okay, I more or less decided I'm not going to Kansas City next year unless God says you have to go. This year, not next year. Unless God say, because I want to spend more time watching and praying, buying oil within my heart so that I have strength. I'm preparing today so that I can last longer. You say, wow, this is like backward. No. I'm preparing myself today so that I can last longer. That is the key. They say, yeah, you're 50. No, I'm not. I don't want to live like 50, retire and die. No. I'm going to get more intense. I'm going to intense until I die. That's what I'm going, okay? Watch, therefore. Circle the word watch. Second, pray always. You say, are you praying too much? 21-day fast. Maybe you should fast always. No, I'm not saying that we fast everybody. Maybe. No, watch and pray. Pay attention. Can I say this? Not out of pride. Worldwide, houses of prayer are losing their values. Don't. I'm not saying this out of judgment. I'm saying this out of watching myself. I want to keep watching. I want to keep praying. I'm not interested in being famous if you rob away my spiritual intimacy with Jesus. That's not what it is about. Watch. I explain to you why it's watch. Watch and pray always. That you may be counted. That is the result. If you watch and pray, you may be counted worthy. The right translation is that you may have strength. That you may have strength. Strength for what? To escape all these things. What do you mean by escape all these things? That means talking about all the fear, all the confusion, all the trap that is going to come so that we have strength to escape that will come to all these things that will come to pass. What does that mean? You know, what does this word mean? All this thing that will come to pass is not going to go away. It will not go away. And to stand. I want to stand. I want to stand. Watch and pray. Basically two things, okay? Watch, primarily Jesus is exhorting us to grow our mind in understanding. Understand what? Understand what is going to happen at the end of the age. To have insight. So that we are not caught unaware. You know why? Why need to watch? You know why? If you know what is to come, it will create a sense of urgency to prepare. If you are surely, fully understand, you will prepare. And in our community, if everybody is watching, that will cause us to discuss and spur one another into pressing even deeper. Watch. Watch. That means develop understanding about what is to come. There are nine times Jesus talked about watching in the context of when he talked about end time. Why do I teach about end time? So that I can get a PhD? No, so that we are aware this thing will happen. Not just so that we are aware, it must have the reality in our heart. It has to be. So watch. All these things are coming. Watch. Pray is to do with growing our heart so that we have strength. Both individual prayer and corporate prayer. It's also talking about growing in intimacy. That's why I give us a challenge. If your individual prayer life is bad. No, I'm not talking about this. Oh God, bless me. Car, bless me. Whatever. No, I'm talking about talking to God. Engaging His heart. Sit there, listen to God. Talk to God and let Him talk to you because it's going to strengthen your heart. Because you're going to have confidence. Open up your word and let Him talk to you. Pray. Pray individual prayer time, corporate prayer time. Because that's Joel 2. Jesus wants us to gather together to pray. Pray for breakthrough. Pray for revival. Pray for Singapore to be transformed. So watch and pray. Don't just watch and don't pray. Because there are people who watch. You know, wow, they're very interested. Wow, end time, so on, but they never pray. Don't just pray and don't watch. Because then you pray with no understanding. Watch and pray. Pray and watch so that you will have understanding.
Last one. No, it's a conclusion. Again, this is my word to all. Time to prioritize. No, when I say prioritize, I'm not talking about shut down everything.
Very few people has the privilege to shut down everything or have the time. But you can prioritize. You can rearrange your life to watch and pray.
No, this is not just about saving ourselves, saving our own skin. I want to be that lighthouse in the midst of darkness. I want to be in the beacon of hope. There will come a time there will be great despair, but there is hope. They can find hope. I want to be that Noah's Ark when storm comes. I want to live in the community that watch and pray.